Wisconsin. Just want to know what's your target time to get the new BQA or the Truckers QA program up.
The question is supposed to be targeted to Nancy, these folks, not me. But anyhow, I'll take the first question. our target line, we have a state coordinator, so we have a 15th annual state coordinators seminar in June. I think it's June 9th and 10th this year in Kansas City. And our intentions are is to have this program, in essence, completed so we can roll it out to the state qualifications coordinator and extension people, this type of thing. So we're talking about summer for the state coordinators. This will probably be then further expanded on and rolled out then at the summer meeting in Denver of the NCBA meeting. But from the standpoint of your state BQA programs, your state extension people, etc., we'll have material and programs in their hands in June. Thank you. Next question.
This is Jason Hull from the University of Idaho. Dell, I have a question. What kind of training do you do for your truckers right now? Or do you do anything that's formalized?
We have a video put out by the Livestock Institute. Yeah, it's called NIAA now. We have a video that we show our new drivers when they come in, and then they have a question and answer that they fill out to see if they what they got out of the video. I think that helps them. I think the main thing is it lets them know we're wanting to do a good job. So that's most of the training we get. Now, if we get a new driver, had experience, we'll put him in the truck with one that's been around a while. So, but a new one, and we'd like for all of our guys to see that video, and hopefully maybe we're going to have one, Gary, maybe in our QA.
Thank you. The other comment I want to make about that is that, you know, we plead with you folks to communicate with us because, you know, it's particularly this area here of how do we, you know, this program would be no more successful than the quality and the useful materials that was put out and delivered. And, you know, and some components of the cattle transportation audiences is a new ballgame for us. We can maybe communicate with cattle producers and breeders and stockers and feeders and et cetera. But, you know, we're not experts in total in how do we reach these people. So we're always interested in, you know, we've been hearing what type of materials do we need out there that would be valuable for you folks as producers to pay to pass on to your transporters and et cetera. So, you know, pick up a phone, email or so on, get a hold of us, and we certainly welcome your input and your desire to help us guide something that's going to go out the door, maybe be usable. Yes, ma'am, next question.
Lisa Chris Anderson, Alabama. As Kim mentioned, this whole thing is going to start even at home. You know, we've got to make sure that we've got proper facilities. And I know that, Dale, you have probably been someplace in Alabama where we did not have exactly the right facilities. I believe the latest non-data mentioned that two-thirds of our cattlemen in the United States, they're part-time, it's not where they get their sole source of income. How do we go about, either with this initiative or whatever else that we need to do, to convince our cattle producers, whether they're in the southeast or wherever, that it does begin at home with good handling facilities and that, you know, we've got to have that with your home or your yard or whether you've got an 18-wheeler coming in? How do we make them believe that they are truly food producers and it does start with good facilities?
That's one of the toughest questions you could ever ask this whole industry. I mean, it's participation involvement. I mean, we're only getting, I mean, just like anything else, you know, how many people turn out to vote. That's the type of thing we're dealing with here. You know, people that have cattle as a third and fourth source of income, they don't subscribe to magazines, they don't really, you know, and they've got every right to go in and out of cattle whenever they want to, whenever they feel like it. That's what the market allows for. I don't know the answer to that. How's that?
The only comment I want to make is that's the same challenge, and this is continued, the same challenge that we had in the advisory board in this industry had in 1987 and 1988 and so on when they started the quality assurance program. is how do we convince people they're in the food producing business, not just cattle producers, and how do we reach the small producers is still our challenge. And we just kept pecking away at it, you know, and you just start making progress and look at what this industry's done with all the result of these programs and this commitment. And what this industry's done from the standpoint of reducing injections, like relations and this type of thing. So if this isn't a one meeting or a one video attempt, this is going to be a long-term commitment of just continually making raising awareness and up to all segments of the industry. An article by John and the media, they said it. It's going to take all players that we all are coaches we have in this field, I think, just to continually get this message out that you are a player and you will need to be a player in addressing these challenges that we bring forward. So it's kind of the same age-old challenge I think we have in quality assurance as we address these various types of issues. The small producers, the non-meeting doors, and all these types of things.
Well, Lisa, I think we find more than in our area in the southeast with the small 20 to 25 head counter. You know, I wonder why don't they castrate, why don't they dehorn, you know, why do they go to extremes and selecting good bulls, producing good cattle, they bring them to market and you've got four holes on the gooseneck than it should, and you've got 5 or 6 down. Don't bed a trailer. I mean, I could go on and on and on, and all that is just poor managers. They're not the UL managers. They're not good managers. So it's sad. It's costing them money. All those things are taking money out of their pocket. And I think it's our duty as the National Cattle Association to get these messages out as much as we can. We're not going to reach everybody, but we might get some people to listen that this lack of management is costing them money.
You know, Jason, or did I answer your question? Addresses it.
This is Jim Reeves from Kansas. In developing your program for handling the transport of cattle, how much effort is spent in getting the information to the livestock auctions? As in the bigger cattle business, we see more damage to cattle, to critical products as a result of handling in a cell barn than we do in transport.
We can pre-quality and pre-quality assurance we brag about, and it's never is complete and never will be complete. But I think one of the strengths of this program, because point number one, this is a welfare program and the producer bearing program, but we brag about the fact, or proud of the fact, that over the years we've been able to build a quite effective what we call pre-quality assurance network. And that is a contact base. And we do have auction markets in that and this type of thing. So they'll be the same recipients of this information, these programs, and players at the table as we develop this as any other sector.
Do you have auction market people with the committee working on
it? Yes, right. Yes, we do. And, you know, we really, when we rolled out the data in 1994 on the, when we had the market cow, and then we called it the non-fed cow audit, and realized in order to really address those issues, we need to have auction market people at the table to help design these programs. To answer your question, yes, we do.
I think the major way you could reach that auction market is through the buyers. You know, if we're going to a sale and they're taking sticks and mistreating the cattle, we're going to be nice about it. But we're going to say, you know, we're getting complaints from our customers and we really don't like you whacking these cattle with the sticks. And we want to continue to buy here, but if you don't stop there, we're going to have to go somewhere else. And the buyer can have a whole lot of influence with that auction market, more than anybody. So convince the buyer to scold the auction market the nice way, you have more influence right there than anybody.
Yes, sir. Yeah, a couple of comments. Glenn Baker from Ohio. I've been in the trucking business for better than 20 years. Part of the problem, yeah, I know about it, it's a non-profit organization. Part of the problem with getting good qualified drivers is it's easy to find truck drivers, it's hard to find stock anymore. That's one comment. The other problem with the very few trucks on the road anymore, up in our country especially, and this, you know, I'm not anti-packer, but for years, packers have treated truck drivers like Phil. You know, you need $2 a mile to run, give you $1.80, or we won't get you, you know, somebody will. Another comment, you know, just reason why there are not many trucks on the road anymore, but they're going to fall their way or butt them. One thing I do have to add, though, and I solve this because I'm ready to quit, and they know it, and I'll just leave if it does. But if you get in overload situations, or especially downer, sick cattle, if you don't load, and I think Tim made a comment about if you don't take them, we won't get you again. Is there any agency or anybody that you can call, state vet, state department of agriculture, anything like that? Because once that animal's on the truck, and he's down, whatever the truck driver's responsibility when he gets there, he says, what the hell wrong with you? You got these dead cattle or something, you know, that are sick. All of a sudden, everything in the back of your life is because of your fault for driving falling for the last 6 hours. Is there any teeth you can put into these places that, you can refuse the cattle and still not jeopardize your business?
That's another tough one, and that's one of the goals of what we're trying to do here, is to identify the standard honest, what we think is right, what you're saying about, okay, we can't haul that clear. Everybody knows we can't haul it, and even if they do get a ghost truck, and he knows darn well he's not going to get away with hauling that clear. And we got to identify that, and then we have to gather, like, this is what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to gather all the information. There is regulations, they're not specifically addressing that, but there's enough regulation in the federal court of regulations and in USDA stuff and in state stuff to be able to put a document together that will have teeth, and then they don't have to go straight across the board. Every trucking company's got to have it, and everybody's got to say, no, we can't do that anymore. That's not what we do. It's not good for the industry as a whole, but we're not there yet.
The fellow that threatens us going to use another trucking company because they won't load that down our weapon to use them, we're not going to do business with unreasonable people. That's what I was talking about, being unreasonable. We have a policy. We do not load any crippled cattle. If that cave is slightly crippled, by the time you stress him and run him 900 or 1100 miles, he's going to be down and he's going to be bad crippled, and your customer's going to be disappointed in that whole load. Unfortunately, the trucker's a lightning rod, gets blamed for a lot of things, like you're talking about the back of the street. I mean, gets blamed for a lot of things that he shouldn't get blamed for. And I know, you know, we have people that don't do the job right. I mean, they need straightening out. But the trucker gets blamed for a lot of things that he shouldn't. And I can sympathize with you. I'm just not going to do with somebody if they're going to be unreasonable like that.
Just to comment, I'm Dr. Doug Robinson. I'm the chairman of the BQA program in Louisiana. We have a program down there, Michael Catlin program, along with our BQA program. And the problem and the remedy begins at home or at ranch or farm level. So what we do is we try to educate the producer. And every session I give, the last comment I make is whatever you do, if you don't remember anything else, just don't send sick cattle to market. And this is the key to the whole thing. If the people are educated at the right level and tell them it's better to bury one than to send them off because your reputation is at stake, and you lose them whenever you send a sick cattle or a crippled cattle or, you know, one that won't go into the food chain. So I think most of the remedies to all of these is producer education, and like I say, our BQA program and then our master cattleman program, which involves about 16 different subjects in animal handling and care, is one of them, along with these other subjects we're talking about. So I think all the state coordinating, learning, teaching the people at ranch level is the key to a lot of these problems.
I agree with that. You all shared that with me. That's an excellent program, and I think having your rangers be certified in all the states like that, I think it's helpful.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Terry Wheeler. I'm from Arizona. And this comment, I guess, is directed toward Tim. And I was very interested, Tim, in what you had to say about the animal rights people, the ecoterrorism, and things that are coming on in your discussions with the FBI. For those of us in the West of the United States, most of us ranch on some form of, we have some form of federal land ranching, and we're really under the gun right now with all the environmentalists, eco-terrorists, and all kinds of things.
And I've always considered that, you know, when you look at the west of the United States, from California to the Pacific Ocean to the 100th meridian in the middle of our country, and from Canada to Mexico, we've got a lot of cattle, and it's pretty hard for terrorists to get their arms around that and cause problems with health and things like that. They can do things in spot areas, but these people are trying to, these environmentalists are trying to get us out of business and put the whole West out of business through buyout programs and all kinds of things that I'm sure you're familiar with. And I hadn't thought about it right now, but you talked about it, that one of our weak links is the trucking industry, which is extremely important to all of us. And I think the more information you can get out to us to be aware of what's going on and give us another something to be knowledgeable about, so that when we're fighting the rest of this stuff, we can be aware of that too, and look for these groups and be aware of these groups that are out to do us in, because we're all in this thing together. We really need all the help we can, and I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
I appreciate the comment. Just what we need, one more thing to watch.
Okay, folks, as I said, first of all, I appreciate, and I'm sure all others in the audience appreciate that you told ladies and gentlemen to use the mics, the friends did use the mic. It sure makes everybody understand. First of all, do fill out your evaluations. Let's give our speakers a big round of applause.